CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, baby. Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Every little thing is gonna be alright.
Damn straight. That's marijuana day today, 420.
So I just read in the news that the Marley family has added 4 new strains of cannabis to their Bob Marley line.
Oh my gosh.
You have Marley Natural now, which is probably like a mellow, huh?
Yeah.
You have Chocolate Fondue, which takes you up a level. Lemon Walker is probably pretty extreme.
Uh-huh.
And what throws you over the edge is Ringo's Gift.
That sounds great.
Wow.
All right, well, let's get started with the news. There's a lot to catch up on today, and we want to be the first to help you get there. There's so much happening in South Africa. There's never a dull day, and Mabali Moloi is the one who keeps her eye on the ball, or on the balls, depending. Isn't that right, Mubs?
This is right, Gareth.
All right, let's waste not a single second more and get straight into Mabali's news.
La 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 la.
All right, here's what you need to know.
Credit ratings agencies are being slammed by South African academics.
Okay.
I suppose South African academics are now putting their foot down and saying, no Moody's, no Standard & Poor's, no Fitch.
Yeah, because these guys didn't even know when the world financial crisis rolled around.
Well, this is the thing, is in America,
what good are they?
They had given all those different, you know, government institutions and banks all good credit scores.
Yeah.
And then a few weeks later, biggest financial crisis since the Depression. So let's see what's going on here. University of Pretoria researchers have warned that these agencies, which assess our country and company credit risks on behalf of potential investors, make important decisions based on research methodologies that are not open to independent evaluation and validation. Now, we are facing a potential downgrade by ratings agency Moody's. They were in the country last month. I see earlier this week our finance minister, Pravin Gordhan, was in America to go and see them again.
Yep.
Should we be downgraded? I mean, it's no surprise what would happen here. It would raise the cost of borrowing money on international markets. Basically, bad news for you, me, and everybody else. Now, Conrad Beyers of the University of Pretoria Actuarial Science Department has called on ratings agencies to make their models available for scrutiny, saying any downgrade of South African government bonds, together with the potential economic fallout at a critical time without detailed information on how the decision was arrived at, may be regarded as irresponsible. And seemingly, these ratings agencies seem to think that they can withhold that kind of information as to how they get to the conclusion that, yes, you as a country need to be downgraded.
Now, what's the bet that they refuse to let us see how they work that out?
Pretty high, Gareth, which is exactly why academics are now speaking up and saying, no, hang on. I mean, basically, I heard one of these academics talking about this, and he said ratings agencies want to give us a junk status rating, which is the same rating that was given to Greece when they were going through that crisis. Now, we know things are bad with the rand and the economy in South Africa, but we are certainly not as bad as Greece.
Right.
Where banks were basically prohibiting people from taking money, their
Thank
own
you.
Money.
Thank you.
So it seems like this is an interesting conversation that is ongoing. And I'd love to hear what the result of the finance minister's visit to the credit ratings agencies in the U.S. was earlier this week. And also maybe we can bring this up with Anthea the next time she's back on with us.
Good idea. I like it.
I like it too. You know, we can't just blindly accept things and take them at face value. We need to ask questions.
Yeah, well, this is it. And, you know, who said Standard & Poor's knows anything?
Exactly.
When have they been any good at anything? They couldn't predict any of that disaster around 2008.
And
nothing.
And who's to say that they aren't more favorable depending on which country or which, you know, government organization they're rating at the time?
And as they say in that movie, which you and Ben made me watch, which was really, really good. What is it called again?
The Big Short.
The Big Short. I mean, they lambasted those ratings agencies. They showed just how completely unreliable they are. Come on. I'll start a ratings agency tomorrow. Go up against the other three. Take me a while to establish some cred. But I might end up just as big as them, and then all you do is you compete for clients by giving them whatever the rating is that they're looking for. Are you kidding? Doesn't sound like a good business deal to me. A business idea, rather, to me. I don't know that we need these guys. Plus, then they decide that we're on the same level as Greece? Come on.
No, it's definitely not that bad.
I mean, we've still got the Kruger National Park.
What?
Right?
That's still our hope.
Look, people in Greece couldn't walk
in Cape Town.
People in Greece couldn't walk to ATMs to withdraw certain amounts of money. I mean, it's not as bad as that in this country.
I had that problem because I didn't have a card.
Oh.
But I figured out how to do it with e-wallet. Did I tell you?
Yeah, I did. Yes, you did. You took
so proud of myself.
Great pride in that. Good for you, Gareth.
But I found out that the maximum you can withdraw in an e-wallet is 3,000 rand.
Sure.
On a day.
Okay.
But I mean, you know, what do you need more than that for in a day?
Isn't that a limit that you can adjust on your online banking?
No.
It's a set limit.
No, it's standard. Because I asked them. I thought, well, you know what? I don't know how long I'm not going to have a card. Let me see how much I can draw at once. Make it last like 2 weeks or whatever. Yeah, that's what they told me.
Yep.
So now you know. You're only going to discover information like that from me because I'm the only embarrassing idiot who didn't have his card. Yeah. Anyway.
Have you ever thought back to at the time when you lost your virginity, what was it that led to you losing your virginity?
I was horny for the girlfriend I had.
Okay.
Booze, so, most of the time.
All right, so hormones, booze for Ben. It might have been peer pressure for some of us. But did you ever think that maybe your DNA could have something to do with it?
Well, your DNA is the most important thing of all.
Well, a DNA study of more than 380,000 people has uncovered a rather surprising role for human genes, suggesting that our DNA also has something to do with when you lose your virginity. Factors such as family stability, peer pressure, and personality type are all known to influence teenagers to engage in the bunga bunga or to abstain until a later age. Now, a huge gene trawl has revealed that our genes also have a substantial influence into when we decide to engage in the bunga bunga for the first time.
Of course.
Genetic factors explain around 25% of the differences in the age when people start to have sex. Now, how's this for a shocker? The average age of sexual maturity for both genders has decreased from about 18 years back in 1880 to 12 and a half years, 100 years later. I am still dumbfounded at the thought of a 12-year-old having sex. I don't understand it.
In medieval times, brides were already having children at 12, 13.
This is true.
So we think we're so smart these days and we've got everything figured out. Well, not so much. Yeah, it's kind of scary.
To put things into, like, perspective, 12 years old, you are in grade 6.
Yeah.
And you could be a mother to several.
That's true.
You could be a father.
Wow.
How'd you like that, Sia?
Not me.
That's being a father at 12.
Imagine.
Be a mother at 12.
Wait, by like 30, you're probably a grandfather.
And then you have to go off to, you know, your husband or boyfriend goes off to war. And maybe he doesn't come back.
What is the average lifespan back then? Do we know?
I think the average lifespan was probably in their 30s. They were dead by the end of their 30s.
Back in the 1800s?
Quite possibly. I'll need to check that, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't a lot. You didn't live long. Maybe if you're lucky, your 40s. Anything beyond that, you were very fortunate.
Because we were talking about Genghis Khan yesterday, right? Uh-huh. And, I mean, he lived to, what, 65?
Yes.
Back in the early 1900s?
But that was, no, early 1200s.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But yeah, that really was, like, he was sucking the souls out of people, that's why. Anyway, he got to that age.
He lived by drinking the blood of infants.
Yeah.
Gareth, yes, Flex.
Why do you say that the life expectancy was so low back then? Because I would have thought it would have been high because there was no stress. We didn't have financial things like
because
that.
Because we were killing each other, Flex.
And there was no medicine. Yeah,
yeah. We were killing each other left, right, and center. There was no medicine, as C.R. rightly points out.
Mm.
And there wasn't enough food even.
You could die of childbirth. Wasn't that like the norm sometimes? Or during surgery with no anesthesia. Well, just imagine surgery with no anesthesia.
You could die by angry goat. I mean, there were so many ways to die.
That's what I'm going to say next time someone says, our life was so much easier back then.
It wasn't.
I'll be like, no, you didn't have that medicine. You didn't have that antibiotic.
There has never been, and don't let anyone bullshit you, there's never been a better time to be alive. Seriously. In the whole history of humanity, right now is the best time to have been alive.
No Tinder. No filters for good photos. Oh, well, no cameras, full stop.
Yeah, no Tinder. Can you imagine? No Instagram.
Oof.
Huh?
The horror.
Upside, no Twitter.
And there was no, like, smoothies and wheatgrass shots. You ate mud and you liked it.
Mm. What are you going to have today for lunch, Dad? I'll have a handful of mud.
I'm just chewing this rawhide.
Yeah. And a hoof of some camel. Great. Oh, yes.
Ugh. Well, speaking on why today is one of the best times to be alive, scientists are actually creating an e-skin, which will turn humans into walking smartphones eventually. So the future is definitely already here. So scientists in Japan have actually created this electronic skin, which is just this extremely thin layer of technology that goes onto one's skin and is able to keep track of our heart rate and a person's general health and could leave current exercise and fitness apps basically irrelevant. Researchers in Japan are developing it and are using it to monitor blood oxygen levels, and it's all being done at the University of Tokyo for now. It's this ultra-thin, ultra-flexible protective layers. You can literally move around with it. It's still currently at a stage where the skin only lasts a couple of hours, but it's very promising as they're already working on this being like the new in thing. Oh. So imagine no more doctors. You find out instantly if there's something going on.
Yeah, you see, that's what I'm thinking. So it's monitoring my heart and all the other things.
Yeah.
And then when it picks out something's wrong, do I get a notification on my skin?
Yeah.
No, probably on your phone.
Well, you get this information.
You probably get it on your phone.
Yeah.
Your phone would beep and say, oh, hi, you got cancer.
Oh.
Hey, that's good morning.
No,
happy Monday from your phone. Siri goes, hi, you have cancer.
You see, you would still need doctors, though, because you still need to be treated for whatever ailment notified of.
Yeah, of course. The treatment will have to come from a professional and even a real diagnosis, because these machines will malfunction.
So they also say, though, it will even change how we interact with each other, because this sort of e-skin can tell you someone else's stress levels or show you their emotions. So, you know, okay, well, I'm not going to talk to Gareth today. He's feeling slightly stressed. Let me move on to Mabale. Well, Mabale is kind of, you know, sad. Let me move away from her.
Forget this about sad. It would be able to tell you if someone was filthy. Like, I sense a human being approaching you. You're like, oh, she looks kind of hot. Yes, she has a very, very bad personal hygiene record. Thank you very much, Siri.
Wow.
Imagine that.
E-skin.
Well, I'll see your e-skin and I'll raise you a 3D printed organ.
Nice.
Okay.
Now we're talking.
I really love that show, Limitless. Mm-hmm. And the episode I watched last night was all about 3D printed kidney.
Yeah?
So, you know, 3D printing is changing so many different things. I mean, I think New Balance recently released a 3D printed running shoe.
Right.
How cool is that, huh? Obviously, it's not very technical, but it's a running shoe.
Have you seen how these 3D printers work? I mean, it takes a little while to make these things. You know, it's three-dimensional. It's not going to just print like a piece of paper. But they can make just about anything. Plastic. Eventually, they'll be able to print our food, Ben. How do you like that?
That's fine. Huh. Well, a lot of the stuff we eat is cardboard anyway. But like these 3D printers, okay, so it's not too long until we're into human testing, but they've tested a few things on animals. But just think how cool it is. Say you lose your ear and a goat bites you.
You know, a lot of evil goats in your world.
Okay.
Exactly, but then you got no ear, right? But now 3D printing an ear that basically works, and there's biodegradable kind of stuff that goes into this mold.
Yep.
Well, gets created in the 3D printing, and then, hey, presto, you got an ear again.
Right.
And then they're doing it in such a way that obviously it's going to work with your body, so it works with the cells.
Yeah, I don't think we want it to be biodegradable while it's on you. You know?
Well, look, there's various ways of going around this, but the whole thing is that it basically becomes part of your body, and it functions with your cells, and it works. Like we spoke about that penis transplant last year. Just think, if you can go, don't even worry about a penis donor. You can just say, right, 12 inches, please. And zzz,
yeah. Oh, that would be great.
Print it out, new big
now
dong.
We're talking.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So is this going to give rise to, you know, I could say, I'm tired of these small titties. Give me a D cup, please.
Yes.
3D print you some boobs.
Huh.
Right. Out of the best materials. No leaks, no complications. How great would that be? Huh?
How do we ensure, like, you see, I'm still slightly confused about, like, the feeling of skin. Is it actually printing skin, and is it printing
it can print
the veins inside?
Listen.
Or is it just printing, like, the look of it?
No, it prints it prints the vessel, the functionality of the organ. So, look, we can't 3D print a liver, because a liver is all about chemical processes.
Yes.
But our heart is effectively just a pumping machine. It's an organic pumping machine.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it does. So if you can create one out of plastic, or one out of silicon, or one out of some other composite material, and you can have it essentially pump the blood around the body, then it's doing its job. Doesn't matter if it's
okay.
A real heart.
So aesthetically, it might not look like my heart, but
no,
it's doing
it definitely
the work
won't.
Of.
It probably will look nothing like your heart.
Mm.
But so, it'll do all the work.
So in some of the early testing, they've printed ears, right? And they've put the ears under the skin of mice.
Right.
And over a course of a couple of months, the ears have grown and formed cartilage on their own, and have actually had blood vessels going through them. So it assimilates with the body and the functions of the body. And away you go.
That sounds terrific to me. I love this. This is what really makes living now great. Is back today. He says, life has never been better. That's why the social justice warriors can exist, and all the big stuff has been taken care of, so they can focus on their minuscule problems. True. Can't disagree with that. Fatu says, keep up the good work. I wonder what Muti you guys are using in order for people to open up. Always first on GCS, and then the papers end up publishing it the next day. Yeah.
We are not revealing any of our tricks.
No, we can't give it all away. That's why we're the best.
But it's definitely moot. You hit the nail on the head.
Right. we buried some hair and bone and shit outside the door when we started.
Or it could be that energy Mark found last week in the studio.
The ghost that Flax keeps seeing.
Breaking news.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
We have our first casualty of 420.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Well, it's like
Waka Flocka Flame has been hospitalized.
Who?
Waka Flocka Flame.
He's a rapper.
He's an American rapper.
Okay, all right. We needed some context.
All right.
He smoked 20 blunts, had to be picked up by an ambulance, and has been rushed to hospital.
My God, how unfortunate. Waka Flocka Flame.
He even tweeted, oh man, Seattle was too much last night. Edible and 20 more blunts later. Ambulance vibes.
Ambulance vibes.
Oh dear.
Great.
Next casualty will be Snoop Dogg. Just give him an hour or two to wake
casualty.
Up.
Casualty.
Snoop Dogg is
Snoop
an
Dogg
OG.
Is a pro.
Yeah, he can.
Weed is afraid of Snoop Dogg.
Snoop Dogg is a Chuck Norris of weed. He can't.
What else do we have?
Let's head on over to Utah, where porn has been declared an epidemic, Gareth.
Porn an epidemic?
An epidemic. In fact, in Utah earlier this week, they declared pornography a public health hazard.
How?
And mandated that computer technicians who find child pornography on a computer to report it to law enforcement authorities immediately in the Republican-backed moves supported by the Mormon Church. The resolution declares pornography an epidemic that normalizes violence against women and children and makes men less likely to want to get married.
Oh, yeah. It's all about marriage.
It was signed by the Republican governor in the area and is supported by the Utah Coalition Against Pornography, which is backed by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormons.
Pornography is a public health hazard in Utah. Sorry.
Well, I'm glad these guys are going after the real problems.
But I think they're still allowed to have sex with their pet pigs in that part of the world. I think that's still allowed.
Something like that.
But porn is a public health hazard.
Yeah, you know, I always find it pretty interesting when people make up their mind about what the boogeyman really is. Like, the boogeyman couldn't be that marriage has never really worked. That for those people who it has worked for, it's just pure luck.
All very, very hard work, because all you keep hearing is that marriage is hard work.
And quite a lot of luck. You really have to find a person who's just perfect for you. We're all really complex creatures. It's very difficult for us to get along with someone. And again, you talk about lifespan. Normal human marriages didn't have to last 40 years. One of you would be dead after the first 10 to 15 years.
Oh.
So you only had to stomach each other for that long. Now people are living 40, 50, 60 years longer than they used to. And that means that you have to stay married to the same person for that long. And it doesn't fit. You get sick of each other. But the problem here, obviously, according to these guys, is porn.
Yes, Gareth.
All right.
They say that the volume of pornography in our society is staggering, and it's harming our families and our young people.
Staggering, huh?
Yeah.
What kind of volumes are we talking about here? And what research have they done?
Well, this particular article that I'm reading doesn't provide any kind of research that was conducted
here. Never does, because all you have to do if you want to say to people there's too much porn, or there's too much swearing, or there's too much violence in movies or video games, all you have to do is say it. You don't have to provide the evidence. And everybody goes, of course there is. And it's not true. It really is not true. I mean, people, we even in the worst parts of the world, we're better off now than we were then. 50, 60 years ago. Really. And don't say morality has gone down the toilet or any of that stuff either. Because these days we really have the opportunity to access information that we've never been able to access before. And a lot of that information includes porn. Do you know how many people are finally having good sex after years and years? There are women in the early 1900s who didn't have orgasms because they thought it was evil. Mubs, can you imagine?
Oh, travesty.
I mean, here you are, a woman. You're not even allowed to enjoy your own body. Right? It's insanity.
All right, but what about child pornography, though, Gareth?
No, well,
because this is a part that this legislation is also trying to focus on. They're saying that a bill needs to be put into place where technicians who find child pornography while working on someone's computer need to report it immediately and to make it a misdemeanor for them to fail to do so.
Nobody wants child pornography out there. Nobody. Except pedophiles. And guess what? People who don't watch child porn, or people who don't, let me start that again. People who are not interested in children sexually are not looking for child porn. And I've never done a search for child porn. I could care less about child porn. But these guys are throwing that in there like that's what's going to happen to everyone who watches porn. They'll eventually end up watching child porn. Nonsense. That's the boogeyman. All porn is bad because child porn is bad. Of course child porn is bad. Nobody wants that except pedophiles.
They go on to say, pornography is more dangerous than secondhand smoke. If we can go against secondhand smoke and make such a difference, we can go against the pornography industry.
How is it worse for you than secondhand smoke? I haven't heard anyone die of pornography. Have you? There might be one or two wild incidents where someone like auto-asphyxiates while they're jerking off or whatever. But no, I don't know anyone who's got cancer from watching porn.
Gareth, they'll argue that they died inside when porn took over their lives.
Well, I fail to see it. I really do.
You people are so sick.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, people are so sick. Yes, Flex.
See, I personally believe that porn has a negative effect on people's sexual lives, because you're now watching something that's unrealistic And after watching it so much, you see this as a norm. So, I mean, in porn, it ends with a man coming on a woman's face. And then a man is going to want to do that in his own sexual life. And that does not happen out of porn.
Yeah, but then you as a woman are completely within your rights to say no. No, you will not come on my face.
I've never done that.
But isn't it porn's social responsibility to clean that up? To really ask the big questions here.
But also, you need to get to a point where you understand that porn is not real. It involves actors. It involves
like video games.
It's staged. It's choreographed. It's directed. I mean, you need to realize that.
Plus, no one has penises that big.
You can't go into your relationship
and vaginas that loose
with your partner expecting you to reenact your favorite porn scene.
And your plumber won't always want to bone you. Like, it's not real.
Right.
The truth of the matter is, we could just say the exact same thing about action films, about seeing guns all the time and how people shooting people
and
in movies.
Look, I do think Flex makes a good point. Like, you can get addicted to it, and when you watch too much of it, then it gives you an unreal expectation.
It's the same with little kids and watching video games with fighting and shooting. Yeah. Then they want to go pick up a gun and shoot.
Yeah.
Not even if it's a fake gun, they want to play with guns.
And even kids who watch cartoons all day that don't have guns in them want to play with guns. That's the truth.
Men are just bigger kids.
That's right. Now you've hit the nail on the head. But you can't, really, we can't keep blaming porn and prostitution. I mean, prostitution and porn have been there since before Jesus. And even before God. Long before kind of the gods of the Bible and the Bhagavad Gita and the Torah and the Quran. Long before that, there were prostitutes and there was porn. Long before even the ancient Egyptian gods, there was some woman who looked at the situation and said, you know what? I'm going to get some money. These men all want something. I've got it. It looks like a good transaction to me.
And her milkshake brought all the boys to the yard.
And they're like,
it's better than yours. Right. Damn right.
It's better than yours. I can teach you.
But I have
to charge. And therein lies the rub. Look, why are we so unrealistic about this? The idea that people are just, they're going to get turned on and they're going to want to watch porn. I mean, isn't that way safer than them going out onto the street looking for action? Someone who's desperate and horny, that's a lot more dangerous, right? So, okay, the guy gets addicted. Maybe he starts thinking that he can do the stuff that he sees in pornos in real life. But good luck to him. He's first going to find a woman who's willing to do all that stuff. And I don't know a lot. And then he has to actually have the confidence to go out and try and get laid. Most of the guys who are sitting watching porn all day don't have the confidence to go out and get laid.
I watched a documentary on people that are addicted to porn. There was this one dude whose hand was actually disfigured from masturbating to porn. It was constantly bent, like he couldn't move it. It was disgusting.
Wait, how was...
Can you imagine what his member looked
like? Oh, that's funny.
He was doing it about 30 times a day.
Well, here's an interesting statistic. Porn has a positive correlation with lower domestic violence and rape. In countries where porn is banned, there is generally more violence against women.
Which countries is porn banned again?
Saudi Arabia, Syria, Iraq, very religious countries. You know, countries that are very conservative. And then what happens is that the guys who would have been watching porn take it out on the woman who's in the house. That's what happens. Because a lot of guys are just animals, can't control themselves at all. Anyway, there we go. But alcohol isn't banned. Alcohol is banned in Utah, says Cindy. What else do they want people to do in that crazy state where polygamy is the main thing? Ooh. You can't get bored with your wife if you can have a few. Well, I suppose... You can't drink there. You can't watch porn there. You can't... there's nowhere to go. It's not like there's parties everywhere. So if you live in Utah, all you've really got to do all day is pray. And that's why people get out of Utah as soon as they grow up. That's the truth.
Utah!
I mean, Utah. Salt Lake City, Utah. Do me a favor.
So, you know, Game of Thrones is kind of known for its sex scenes, right? People often say that it's a kind of porno almost.
Right.
Well, Emily Clark, who we spoke about yesterday, is saying there should be more nudity.
But she refuses to do it.
Yes, Gareth, but she wants more male nudity. More cock. Game of cocks is what she wants.
You know, my only problem with male nudity on these shows is they should give the guys a chance to get erect.
Oh, they're really? Always, you don't want to see it soft?
You can't have an erect penis on TV. Fuck horror.
They're always, you know, soft when you see these things. And that's not fun to see.
Isn't that the actual definition of porn?
What?
It's like when you actually see, like, an erect penis makes it porn. Before then, it's just a movie.
It's a good point, because Game of Thrones, like, we've just realized, Merv told us yesterday, there's going to be, like, another three series.
Right.
Three seasons. Well, that's going to fall flat,
two.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so another two. If they haven't got an erect penis, they've got nothing. That's what they've got. They've got to reach that taboo where they'll be the first show to show an erect penis but not be porn.
Well, maybe the dragons can, like, mow down a whole lot of people, too. That would be fun.
Yeah, but we've seen that kind of stuff before.
Nah.
You've got to try a show. HBO Wood. There's the challenge.
All right. Let's see what happens there.
And Emily Clark will be much happier about that.
Who,
Gareth, to your point yesterday, has spent less time doing no more nude scenes because she wants to be remembered for acting and not her breasts.
Yeah, because we all watch the Khaleesi for her acting. Kevin says, I think the survey was done inside the Mormon church, so I think it might be an internal problem. Now they want to take away all the porn. Anushka says, morning guys. Yesterday my colleague told me she'd heard about that mattress that you could buy that measures the movement and weight of the people on it and alerts the owner if there's any irregular activity.
Mm-hmm.
This was on 94.7, and we obviously heard it in Mubs' news the day before. I told her, bitch, please, stop listening to these wankers that plagiarize Cliff Central. I can't deal with it. Thank you, Anushka. Keep fighting the good fight. These losers in radio that just do not have any original ideas. What else have we got? What's that, Sia?
Anushka had a Blacktress Janet Hubert moment.
Right.
Bitches, please.
Bitches, please.
What's that? Say it again, Janet.
Bitches, please.
That's the one.
Now, hang on. Someone said bitches. Ooh. Oh, there's someone at the door, Sia.
I know.
Someone said bitches. What does that mean? Does that mean that we need to apologize to the feminists?
Straight away.
No, because a woman said it, it's completely fine.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Different strokes for different folks.
Here's a Caitlyn Jenner song, especially for your happiness this morning.
Oh,
you ready?
This is Caitlyn Jenner, and I just want to say, pack your bags and get the hell out of here, wiener. I'm a girl now. Whoa, totally crazy. Forget I'm a lady. Men's shirts, short skirts. Whoa, really go wild, yeah. Do it in style. Whoa, get in the action. Feel the attraction.
Right.
Color my hair, do what I dare. I want to be free, yeah, to feel the way I feel. Man, I feel like a woman. Yeah, baby! Bye, wiener!
There we go. Isn't that good? You like the Caitlyn Jenner song?
I prefer the Kardashian song.
No, okay. All right, well, what else is going on in the news, Mubs?
Interesting incident that's come out of America again.
Yes.
Where's this place? Oh, this is in Tennessee. You know, it's just,
oh, okay.
Just reminded me of this, you talking about Caitlyn Jenner. Staff at a Tennessee university had to call the police after finding six rainbow-colored nooses, which has sparked a bit of social media outrage, because people are like, nooses, this is a little bit tricky. Is this some kind of hate speech? Speculation on social media suggested the display might be a student art project, which is meant to highlight the struggles facing the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community with
We've
suicide.
We've left out everybody else.
I can't remember what
that was. Okay. It's time for a reminder. Where's my pen? I need a pen for this, because otherwise I forget myself, right? Lesbian,
gay, bisexual,
bi, trans, intersexed, asexual, and then that other one that Ben introduced us to the other day.
It's not incest, it's something else.
It's called
GSA.
GSA.
Genetic sexual attraction.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Not incest.
LGBTIAGSA.
And then we had a B at the end for bestiality.
And B for bestiality at the
end. All right, okay.
Because, you know, we lump everyone together who's a little bit different.
All right, well, that thing then. So the speculation on social media is that it's an art display which is trying to highlight the struggles facing the lesbian...
LGBTIAGSAB.
Yes, with suicide, given that the nooses were the same colors found in the rainbow flag.
Huh.
Suicides in this community is seen as an epidemic, according to one Facebook post. You have the attention of the people. That is what art is about. But, you know, the university have since had the nooses taken down, and everybody has been, you know, outraged about whether or not this is a form of hate speech or not.
Oh, it's hate speech. A lot of art would have been considered hate speech at some point. If you're a freedom of expression person, you've got to accept that sometimes you're going to be offended. If you're not, keep on complaining. Eventually the world will be so sterile around you that nothing can offend you, but nothing will excite you either. Those are your options. Full stop.
How do you think you would fare against a bear?
No, I'd lose.
Let's say you were in the woods, you're happily skipping around, and then you turn around... There's a bear.
I would lose.
Okay. I think I would lose too.
I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio couldn't handle a bear. What chance do I have?
Well, a man who teaches classes on the outdoors has been hospitalized after he was mauled by a bear.
Yeah?
This was during a mountaineering class in Alaska. 35-year-old Forrest Wagner. Yes, his name is Forrest. He was leading a group of 11 students and two teaching assistants when he was attacked by a bear with her cubs.
Just like in that movie.
Yeah, he's been coordinating and teaching in the outdoor studies program at the university since 2006. He teaches everything from rock and ice climbing, backcountry navigation.
Oh, God. Jesus Christ.
Glacier travel and mountaineering. And then earlier this week, he was mauled by this big bad bear that came out of nowhere with her cubs. He seems to be in a critical condition, but he is alive. He had to be taken to hospital via two helicopter transport, like two helicopters had to transport him to a hospital. None of the students or the two teaching assistants were hurt.
Sorry, I don't know what's going on there. It sounds like this bear is really making a full meal of it.
This teacher was the second man to be attacked by a bear in Alaska within days.
Stay out of Alaska then. What's wrong with people? All right, bear, thank you.
This is after a 77-year-old bear hunter was recovering from injuries suffered when he was mauled by a grizzly in the same area.
There's a show on the Discovery Channel. I think it's called Building Alaska. And these people are building houses in all kinds of parts.
Right.
And in the advert, you just see a bear standing there looking at the human going, I'm going to eat you. I'm going to eat you. And it's like they're building out of logs, right? And the bear's just holding like the next log this guy needs to use. Like, you want this?
Come and get it. But bears like to maul these people.
They do.
Why don't these people stay the hell out of the bear's way?
I reckon for a bear, the human is just the right amount of difficulty because a fish dies, right? You get a fish, like you get a deer, and it's like, yeah. But a human will scream, they'll move a bit, they can run a bit.
Yeah, they'll like even try to kill you.
Yeah, there's like a difficulty element of 4 or 5. It must be fair game.
And the bears all get together at some point, and they go, well, I almost had a human killed today. What a human kill. What did you pick up, Sally? Oh, I just got some salmon.
Yeah. Oh,
you know,
really?
I'm just so tired of salmon. I want a human.
Well, they're hard to catch, Sally, and you're just not fit enough. I am fit enough. Prove it. I'm going to that log cabin up the road today. I'm going to kill that little girl.
Yeah.
Although if you as a human, by some miracle, managed to kill a bear during an attack, you'd feel pretty invincible after that, right?
Yeah.
You'd feel like, yes, I am a badass. I killed a bear.
If you, you know, in those days when, like, before guns, or if you didn't have a gun, let's say you had to, like, fight it with a knife, and you won, that was real heroism.
Yes.
I'd understand if you made a trophy and put it on your wall of that bear that you killed with a knife. If you just shot the bear, it's no major thing.
No.
You know, you're not a hero. You're a douchebag who had a weapon.
Yeah, you can only ever hang an animal skin in your house, I think, if you've got bare knuckles toe-to-toe with it. Only then are you actually a hunter. Otherwise, you just got dickhead with a gun. There's no honor or chivalry in that. So, but you've got to have photos. Of, like, you've got to have a photo of it in the headlock, tapping out, that kind of stuff. Then you can maybe have a skin in your house.
I've watched a lot of Alaskan documentaries, so I know how it works with the bear.
Where do you find time for all this TV?
I love documentaries.
You are watching a lot of documentaries.
Especially birthing documentaries.
Birthing?
Documentaries with midgets. So basically in the Alaskan one, what happens is snowfall gets pretty high. So the bears are no longer able to reach like the shrub and stuff for food. So they make their way inland. And they'll go for sort of the farms that the people have set up, because everything's inland and in-house in Alaska. You don't bring meat in. You kill your meat there. You sell it to the community, stuff like that.
Right.
So the bears will try get into the farms to kill the livestock. Now, the people are very protective over the livestock because that's all they have to eat.
Right.
So they will fight with the bear. Also, what happens is sometimes they move their livestock from farm to farm, and during the move, the bear will find a higher ground to see this move and then attack the livestock.
It's this constant...
Scheming bears.
It's this constant human versus bear interaction.
And it's especially the Alaskan black bear, which is the most aggressive.
Oh, are they the worst?
Yeah. They are the worst.
Okay. Sia, how long do you think you'd last against a bear?
3 seconds.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there.
I'm with you. I wouldn't even put up a fight.
I think, honestly, the thought of the bear attacking me would kill me. I'm not even joking.
Have you seen The Revenant?
Ooh, no.
You got to see The Revenant. Oh. You got to see how that bear rips Leonardo DiCaprio open.
Just imagine, this big thing is now in front of you with the claws out, the growls, I'd need a diaper change, and then just die.
You see, the problem with us humans is that there are very few animals that we can outrun. I mean, if you start running, it's like, okay, the bear will stand and watch and be like, ha, ha, and then he will start to give chase and catch up to you.
And you're finished.
And you're done.
Yeah. You see, that's what I hate. I've been on, like, safari before, and they say, well, if you come in contact with any of the animals, stay still and don't move. That's a lie.
Absolutely.
I will not be doing that. I'll be on the opposite direction, running my little legs off.
All right, let's talk to Ted Cruz's dad. He's finally on the phone after all this time. Remember, we said we would talk to him. Ted Cruz, of course, is neck and neck with Donald Trump in the Republican race to be president. Mr. Cruz, you were actually born in Mexico, and your son is running for president, huh? How's that? How do you feel about Ted Cruz? How do you think he's doing?
That piece of shit, Marco Rubio, is cock blocking my son, and no one touches my son's cock but me.
Oh, that's very disturbing, sir. I don't know if you just said what you said, but I hope I heard wrong. Either way, are you concerned about anyone except Marco Rubio? I mean, what do you think? What was Ted like when he was a kid? Is there anything that we need to know about Ted when he was a kid?
Seriously, he has a face only a father could fuck.
Oh, my God. Really, you don't have to talk
he
like that.
He was a little angel that looked like Macaulay Culkin if Macaulay Culkin's face was gang fucked.
Oh my God.
And set on fire.
Oh my God. All right, listen, we got to go. Thank you very much, Mr. Cruz. I don't know if that really was Ted Cruz's father. Sure. What a guy, huh?
Jesus can
only do so much. Okay, all right. Thank you. We heard from you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no, enough out of you, Mr. Cruz Senior.
Wow. What a nutcase. All right, anything else that you want to throw in the news, Mubs? Because we got to get to the Flax's conspiracy theories.
Let's do that. I'm actually very keen to find out what Flax has on the table for us today.
Ladies and gentlemen, something new for you this morning. Michael Flax has been doing research for years on conspiracy theories. It's his favorite topic. This morning, he will tell us about one of these conspiracy theories, and he'll tell us why it's true.
So, I know all of you have heard that people have landed on the moon.
Yes.
The Apollo mission. Armstrong's walked on the moon, but I don't think it's real. Think about it. If they've done it, why haven't they done it again? Why has nobody else been back to the moon? Also, I think it was all staged. I think it was done on a set. I think it was done to raise credibility for NASA. So, oh my God, NASA's so good they can send people to the moon. I think it was also used to raise capital for NASA for other missions, because NASA was at a time where they needed funding and it was make or break.
By the way, they have gone back to the moon. 12 men altogether have walked on the moon.
But, like, televised?
Yeah, well,
see,
there's evidence. No, there's evidence.
What evidence?
Well, first of all, they left a flag up there. You can still go and see it. If you go and land on the moon right now, you can go and find the flag.
How do you know, though?
What do you mean, how do I know?
You've
how
seen
do
I know the Earth is the flag. Right?
How do I know that if I jump into the sky, I won't keep on going up and up and up?
How do you know if you go to NASA now, you won't get onto a set where there's a flag stuck in a fake moon?
So you think they made up the whole thing?
I think it's utter bullshit. Also, in the pictures, the flag's waving. I thought there's no wind on the moon.
No, Flax, there's a little piece of steel in the top of the flag so that it looks like a flag. Because there's no wind on the moon, if they took a flag and planted it on the moon, it would never fly. So they put a little rod at the top. It's not waving in the wind. It's held out so that you can see the flag. It's displayed.
So you believe people have actually set foot on the moon?
Yes. I believe that millions and millions and millions of dollars have been spent on this.
Then you fell for the trick.
Okay.
I believe it was all done on a set in NASA and just mad hype around it.
Okay, but since then, we know that a lot of research gets conducted on different planets, you know, like Mars. This is how people are able to report back to us and say, yes, there is life on Mars. So seeing as how the technology now allows for that kind of thing to happen, don't you think that taking a man to the moon is something that is completely plausible?
I believe that machines have been, but no man yet.
Well, so Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and all those guys are actors and liars.
I think they were part of a bigger plot.
But for what purpose?
I don't know what purpose exactly, but I do believe that it didn't happen and it was maybe to cover something else up or to raise capital or something like that.
Raise capital for what?
Say they needed for other missions, say they were just about to, like,
develop weapons. I mean, but okay, look, if you'd said the reason is they needed to beat the Soviets in the space race, I'd say okay.
At that time,
the Russians, remember, had won. They'd launched the first satellite into the sky and around the planet, the Sputnik. So the Russians were looking better than the Americans.
Exactly.
For a long time. So the Americans needed to pull off a big one.
Credibility.
And John F. Kennedy said, we must make it a goal of ours before this decade is out to put a man on the moon. And then he did. Well, he didn't. Nixon did.
You'll probably know more about the technology at that time than me. Do you think they had the technology at that time to send someone to the moon?
You need a rocket. We definitely had rockets by the 60s.
You need more than just a rocket. You need the fuel. You also need some system
liquid
to
oxygen.
Guide the rocket.
Sure. Sure. I think they had all of that.
I think we're only getting that now.
Are you telling me that that whole space museum in Houston is just a big bullshit story? It's there to convince people that something happened that didn't, that has no weight anymore?
Cover up a lie.
It's a lot of work, hey? What about the people who... The people who were bouncing around, you see the sun, you see the earth. You think that's all fake footage?
I don't think that was taken by man, though. That could have been taken by machine. The footage of how the earth looks like from the moon.
Okay, we're not even talking the same game here. Ben, What do you think the reliability of this conspiracy theory is out of 10?
Well, Mavis's point kind of nails everything down. If they've gone to other planets, researched things, machines or not, the moon isn't exactly out of reach.
Feynant says, Flax, this is just a lazy one. You used one website. You don't sound convinced yourself. Adriano says, Flax's conspiracy theory is about as good as reality TV shows. Fail. Shelton says, Flax, the moon landing was a race between the US and Russia. I'm with you. It's suspect. Russia had 500% more space time than the US. All of a sudden, they get beaten. Watch the documentary. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon.
What happened on the way to the moon? Oh, no, it's cold on the way to the moon. I thought something happened.
Ole Boheng says the moon rovers are still up there. NASA now needs more funding than it did during the Apollo missions. So maybe that's it. Huh? What do you think? Mubs, what's your conspiracy theory?
You know, I tend to...
Value.
No, I mean, as I said, I think if we, you know, today we know that we have the technology that goes onto different planets and then collects information and then, you
right.
know, which is analyzed and processed by scientists. I think if the technology exists for that, then it's completely plausible that they did send men to the moon in
well,
the 60s.
Listening to the Cliff Central app, says Quentin, and Flax, please stop while you're behind.
Why aren't we sending people every year to the moon?
You know, it's not like a trip to Durban. It's not cheap.
It costs a bit. There's quite a lot of work that goes in.
It's not cheap.
Yeah.
You need to be a specific kind of person to do that. Then you need to be an astronaut. You know, Flex, you can't say, oh, I want to go to the moon. Pick me. You need to train for that kind of thing. It's not...
Quite a lot that goes into it, actually.
There's
You'd
a
be
lot
surprised.
Of, yeah, a lot of money gets
right.
spent.
There's so many billionaires out there. Two of them come together, send a few guys to the moon, but that doesn't happen, and we never ask why.
Well, actually, you're wrong. I mean, there's no need to go to the moon anymore. We know what's there. We've been there before, and we've mapped the whole moon out. What we want to do is go to Mars. And what we want to do is go to space. And Richard Branson's trying with this Virgin Galactic to get people into space. He's a billionaire. There's your theory gone out of the water already. Mark Shuttleworth went up into space, remember?
Mm-hmm.
So there's your theory.
Why didn't he land on the moon?
Why would he want to? There's nothing on the moon. It's a piece of rock.
Just to say you were the 13th person.
Nah. 13th. Like, you want to be the 13th person. If you're not the first person, you have no business up there.
To Flex's credit, though, if you just do a Google search of the moon landing, there are tons of websites dedicated to what he's saying.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
You know.
It's like there are lots of people on social media who think that it's that they're being mortally wounded by someone else's microaggression.
Yeah, but if you tell Buzz Aldrin what Michael's just said, he'll punch you in the motherfucking face.
He did that, actually.
That's what
I remember that.
Someone told Buzz Aldrin it wasn't true that he landed.
Punched a reporter.
Yeah, he did.
Sure.
In the face.
Right. Don't mess with Buzz Aldrin. Because all you need, Mavs, is a rocket experience, right?
It's all you need.
All right. On that note, we'll close up this week's conspiracy theory. And you can find out more. And if you've got any suggestions for Flax with next week's, you can let him know.
Mike@cliffcentral.com. MIKE@cliffcentral.com.
Remember, we're also running that piece of ass competition, which so far lots and lots of entries for. If you think you're good looking, you think your partner's good looking, you think your dog is good looking.
Or your cat, or
your
budgie.
Could be anything.
One thing I must rule out, someone sent me a photo of pizza yesterday. Please stop sending me photos of your pizza and applying for piece of ass with that.
No, that will not help you.
I'll just give you a big ass. A big difference.
There's a middle ground theory that the landing happened, but that the footage was shot in a studio by Stanley Kubrick. There's another
Morning,
documentary.
Kenny, how
are you? Hey, here's another documentary for you, Flax, called Room 237. All right.
Buzz, this is Houston. We've got about 10 minutes left now. 10 minutes left now. Prior to commencing your EVA termination activities, over.
CliffCentral.com.